Now we're going to turn to those two passages that we read together in Genesis chapter 5 and in Hebrews chapter 11. And while you're turning to those passages, allow me to read just a couple of verses in the book of Jude. But you look up those other passages. I want to just read here another reference to Enoch, because Jude in his epistle distinguishes clearly the Enoch that we want to consider this morning. And he writes, "Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage." Now you have God's word. Let's just seek his help. Let's pray. Father, again in these moments, we would come to you. We seek that help that only you can give. Lord, I pray for that divine unction upon the preaching of your word. We pray, Lord, that you would, as we sang at the very beginning, that you would present yourself here, that the presence of the Lord might be moving amongst us. And Lord, that you would be speaking to hearts. We pray for victory over the evil one as he would come to snatch the word away. But Lord, we pray even this morning that you will bring your word home to all of our hearts. Speak to my heart afresh, Lord. Speak to the hearts of all who would listen. And may it all be for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. It's some years ago now since I had my first visit. And as I look around the congregation, I see quite a number of you have had similar visits. I'm referring to that visit to the optician, or maybe you call it the optometrist. I think that's the more modern term now. Yes, I'm getting a few nods there. But I remember it very distinctly when I went to the optician. He was a lovely man. He's now since retired. A lovely, gentle man. But he spoke to me in a way that I never forgot. Because you know when you put on, some of you who wear glasses, you'll know what I'm talking about. You put on those heavy frames. And then into those frames, the lenses are slid in and out. And the question was asked in those soft and yet very distinct tones, is it better with or without? With or without? I never forgot that. With or without? The other Sunday night, I was preaching at a meeting, and after it, there was supper provided. The tea was handed round, and this lady stood in front of me. It was black tea. She stood in front of me with a jug, and in a very efficient manner, she said to me, "Are you with or without?" She was one of those ladies, I thought to myself, I better answer very distinctly, or I could be wearing this milk, you know. But anyway, I said, "Oh yes, I'm with." For your consideration this morning, folks, the Bible says Enoch walked with God. Are you with or are you without? You're either walking with God or you're walking without God. There's no middle ground. Now, if you forget everything I say, like when I left the optician on that very first visit, I never forgot those words. And if you forget everything I say, you go home pondering that. Am I walking with God or am I walking without God? Now, with that thought in mind, I want us to consider this great man of God, Enoch. It says he walked with God. The first thing I want us to consider this morning, folks, is the commencement of his walk. We see it there in Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. Read these words. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Now, it seems to be abundantly clear to us here, folks, that the inspired word of God is teaching us something very clearly. And it's this, that for 65 years of his life, Enoch lived. He lived just like any other man or woman of his day, of his generation. He lived for himself. He lived an ungodly life. But then the scriptures clearly teach us that something happened when Enoch was 65. And that thing that happened was the birth of his son, Methuselah. And when Enoch's son was born, there was a change in Enoch's life. Because from the birth of his son, the scriptures clearly declare to us that after that, Enoch walked with God. And so I submit to you this morning, folks, there was a commencement to this walk in Enoch's life. You remember as you look back over the genealogy there as you have it in those opening chapters, Enoch was born after the Garden of Eden. Enoch was born after sin had entered into the heart of man. So Enoch was born like you and I are born, born in our sin. He was not born walking with God. But something happened. And I want you to consider this for a moment. Because when it comes to the birth of Methuselah, names were very significant in those days. Names signified certain things. And it's interesting when you consider the name Methuselah, because the root of his name actually means like an arrow, a javelin, something that goes forward, something that's sent. The name Methuselah signifies when he is dead, it shall be sent. Now, what's that a reference to? It is a reference to the judgment of God coming upon the earth via the flood. Now, if you don't believe me in that, bear with me for a moment, and this will test you to see if you're awake or not. Listen to this. When Methuselah had lived 187 years. Now get that. He lives 187 years. He became the father of Lamech. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he had a son. He named him Noah. Quick calculation. 187, 182, 3, 6, 9. You got that? Now let me take you over to the book of to Genesis chapter 7 and to the verse number 6. Now listen to this. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came on the earth. Add 600 to 369, what do you get? 969. What does verse 27 of our reading tell us? And Methuselah lived 969 years. And he died. Friends, I submit to you this morning that when Methuselah was born, God spoke to Enoch in an unmistakable way and revealed to him that when his son would die, he would send his judgment upon the earth. And from that moment in Enoch's life, Enoch walked with God. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. If in our day and generation in which we live, God in a miraculous and mysterious way were to come to you or to I and to visit us in such a way and say to us, look, maybe some of you here will be parents in years to come, having a child. And if God were to come and to say to you, when that child dies, I will come again. I ask you, how would that affect how you live? God spoke to this man in an unmistakable way. And from that point in his life was transformed. He walked with God. He walked with God. Now, when you go to that passage that we read in Hebrews chapter 5, we have here in verse verse 5. We're told that he was taken away. We'll look at that a little later. But it says this, for before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Now, that is the Greek translation of the Hebrew walking with God. And so the writer there in Hebrews is basically giving you the Greek translation of the Hebrew phrase, he walked with God, equals that he pleased God. And as we considered with the children today, we cannot please God without faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. He walked with God because he pleased God, because he had faith in God. Now, folks, I want to put a challenge here today. Because I meet many people, and you do too, and there may be some people here today, and your thinking is this, that you will live a life as best you can. And maybe you take a look around you and you look at people who profess to be Christians, and maybe at some point or other in their lives they have let you down. Or they have done something that you say is far from the behavior of a Christian. We can all be guilty of that, folks. And you might think to yourself, well, if that's a Christian, I want nothing to do with it. But I live the best I can. And at the end of the day, surely the good will outweigh the bad. Oh, my dear friend, I say to you today, please, listen to what God's word says. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. I had a lady come into the shop there a number of Saturdays ago. I can share this because she certainly was not from this county at all. She came into a shop. Do you know how the end thing has been over the last 2 or 3 years there? People are doing up old pieces of furniture. Maybe some of you are into that. This lady came into the shop. She asked me a question. She says, do you have anything for woodworm? Now, as you would know, if you have a piece of furniture with woodworm, you don't want to put it in amongst all your good furniture and spread that woodworm. So I duly showed her what we had available for woodworm. She says, come out and take a look at this. Well, I took a look at her table. I had my own thoughts, but that's besides the point. But I told her what she should do. Now, if I would have said to that woman, I'll tell you what we'll do. There's a tin of wood filler. You take that wood filler, you go home, and you see all those little dots. You take the time and you fill those little dots in, fill them well up, then sand them, and then paint the piece of furniture. It'll look brilliant. Problem? We didn't deal with the woodworm. Folks, are you trying to look brilliant in God's sight and you haven't dealt with the problem within? You haven't dealt with the woodworm. I tell you, Enoch's walk with God had a commencement. There was a point in his life when he turned away from being a man who lived like the rest of men to being a man who walked with God. Have you, man or woman, young person, are you walking with God? Because if you're not walking with God, I tell you, on the authority of his word, your life will never, ever please him. The commencement. Secondly, will you notice with me the continuance of that walk? Verses 22 and 24. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God for 300 years after the birth of his son. Now, it's interesting, folks, because you might think to yourself, well, that's a long time. In relative terms, when you read those verses that we were considering together, Enoch was taken in the prime of his life. With the exception of Enosh and Lamech, all of the rest of his contemporaries lived over 900 years. But Enoch walked with God 300 years. How is it possible? Well, there's a little rhetorical question that's asked to us in the book of Amos. It says this in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? You see, at that moment in his life, Enoch was brought into harmony with God. To use a New Testament term, he was reconciled to God. I was listening to Andy preaching a couple of weeks ago. He was preaching on justification by faith. It's a glorious term. And you really, in a sense, when God comes to any of us and justifies us by his grace and by his mercy, he declares upon our lives not guilty. Not guilty. The punishment for our sin has been laid upon Christ, and we have been imparted with the grace of God. When God looks upon us, we have been clothed in the righteousness of Christ. That's how you and I today, folks like Enoch, can walk with God. We are brought into harmony with God. And so at that moment in his life when he had saving faith, the barrier of his sin was broken down. It was removed. And he was brought into fellowship with the living God. And so he could walk with God throughout the rest of his life. I love that piece that Proclaim sang. And a line in it goes like this: I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I tell you, that's what happens. That's what happened, you see, when Enoch had that encounter with God. The fear was gone. I heard of a man recently. One of the greatest fears he had was the fear of dying. He feared death. Now, indeed, let me be honest, I don't think there's any of us here relish the prospect of death. But folks, in the face of death, because a man or woman has walked with God, that man or woman, I honestly believe, is given the grace to continue that walk, even through the valley of the shadow. But you might be here this morning, you might say to me, but Martin, what do you mean when you're talking about walking with God? What does it mean in real terms? Spell it out to me. I love that metaphorical picture that it presents to us. Think if you're out for a walk and walking with someone. You're walking there beside them. You're talking with them. You're seeing what they're seeing. It's a companionship. And you're progressing all the time. Isn't that right? And that's what it is to walk with God, folks. Yes, you can't see him. He's invisible. But the thing is this, he has promised to be with you. And so walking with God simply means living your life day by day with a knowledge of the presence of God with you wherever you are. That God is with you wherever you go. Whether you're in the farm, whether you're in the classroom, whether you're at home, wherever you are, as a child of God, you're never alone because God walks with you. You know, we often wonder when you look at some people, how they cope, how some of the Lord's people cope with the challenges and the difficulties that they face in life. It's wonderful when you're talking to some of these people. And their testimony often is, folks, the Lord. It's the Lord that brings them through because he's walking right beside them. He's walking with them. And you know, I thought as I was preparing this and thinking about Enoch, you know, what a father Enoch must have been. What a husband Enoch must have been. What a brother Enoch must have been. What a workmate Enoch must have been. What a person to have been with Enoch must have been. A man who walked with God, whose life was given over to pleasing God. Enoch didn't live for self, folks. Enoch lived for the Lord. You see, there was another Enoch. He was the son of Cain. You'll read about him in Genesis chapter 4. Oh, he left his mark, all right. His father was Cain. His father built a city. You know what he named the city? He named it Enoch. That Enoch, oh, he left his mark. But his mark was godlessness. He was far from God. He had no time for the things of God. He was an ungodly man. Yet he left his mark on society. But he never pleased God. Friends, it's possible for you and I to live our lives and leave our mark on society around us. And yet in all our ungodliness, to live and never please God. Don't be like Enoch, the son of Cain. Be like Enoch, as Jude says, the seventh from Adam. Because he was of the godly line. He walked with God. Enoch's life would have been displaying the fruit of the Spirit. But maybe you're here today and you're struggling. You are a Christian, there's no doubt of that. But you're struggling in your walk with the Lord. And maybe you think to yourself, well, you know, it would have been easy for Enoch back then. Easy for him to live. Enoch doesn't face the pressures that we face today. Maybe young people, you're thinking that, even as a young Christian. You may be thinking to yourself, well, Enoch had an easy time. You know, Enoch doesn't face all this modern stuff that I have to face. And you know, Martin, it's really tough for me being a Christian. Let me remind you of this, young people. In the very next chapter, Chapter 6 and verse 5. This is what the Lord says. He's speaking to Noah. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become. And listen to this expression. And that every inclination of the thought of his heart was only evil all the time. That's the days that Enoch, those are the days that Enoch was living in. Days of great wickedness. In fact, only Adam and Noah were gone when Enoch was translated. Enoch lived with those contemporaries in the days of great wickedness. Noah was born 69 years just after the death of Enoch. But things were getting bad. It was tough. And when you think of Noah, the Bible records for us who were the people that went into the ark. Noah, his wife, his sons, and their wives. Such was the evil in the land, folks, that everyone else experienced the judgment of God. They were awful days. Awful days. Yet through it all, Enoch walked with God. Folks, there's no doubt you and I are living in days that maybe we haven't experienced before. We have heard about it recently in our village, and just this past week I heard about it with another congregation in Ballymena doing some door-to-door work. And I can tell you some of the things that we're experiencing now, folks, from people. People blatantly, unreservedly now, deny the very existence of God. It used to be people were apathetic. Folks, we're living in days when there's no fear of the Lord in the land. So what do? Cave in? Not at all. We take the example of men like Enoch and we stand firm, and by the grace of God, because we're not called to do it in ourselves, by the grace of God, we walk with God. We walk with God. It will be tough. Of course it will be. You'll experience much opposition. But I put it to you as my brother and sister in the Lord today. Folks, are we up for it? Because this is the day that the Lord has called you and I to be the salt and the light in. You need long for a day in the past. We give praise to God for what He has done in the past. But folks, we're now in the present. You and I are the people of this generation. You and I are the people who are called to be the salt and the light now. But the great thing is this, the God who worked in the past by His almighty power can do it again today. The final thought, let me be quick. The commencement of His walk, the continuance of His walk, the final thought, the culmination of His walk. The culmination of His walk. Verse 24, Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more, because God took him away. Let me go over to Hebrews. What does it say? By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. As I said to you earlier, he was taken at a relatively young age, 365 years. But I want you to think about this for a moment, folks. One day, Enoch was walking with God on this earth, and then he was gone. And the inference of that verse there in Hebrews, he could not be found, is he was missed. He was missed. As I said to you a little earlier, with the exception of Adam and Noah, all of his contemporaries, all those people that we read about earlier, were alive when Enoch was translated. If you're using the Authorized Version, that's what you will read. He was translated. That word literally means he was transferred. It carries with it the idea that God, in a miraculous way, had taken up Enoch, and without going through the portals of death, as you and I will have to face if the Lord be not come, without going through the portals of death, the Lord had picked up his dear saint and he carried him right into his presence. And he was not to be found. He was missed. Here was this godly man that lived his life, and as Jude has referred to us, he was a prophet. He prophesied. He testified about God in the midst of the wickedness. Enoch testified. He spoke up for God, just like Noah when he was building the ark. Peter refers to Noah as being a prophet, a preacher of righteousness. Enoch similarly spoke for the Lord in the day that he was living. But now he was gone. Gone. You and I in our society today, because of the legacy of the Troubles, we're used with that phrase, the disappeared. Only two men that the scriptures record went to heaven without going through the portals of death, Enoch and Elijah. And if the Lord be not come, death will be the means whereby each of us will go into his presence. But he was missed. And folks, as I thought about this, I thought also of the fact godly people are missed. When the Lord calls people home who have lived a life for him, they're missed. Their countenance is missed. Their prayers are missed. Their wisdom is missed. Their very being is missed. Because they were godly. You see, the prophet Ezekiel asks a question, or he's spoken to by the Lord, and he says, there's a gap, the Lord says. There's a gap. I've looked for a man to stand in the gap, and I've found none. You know, as I thought about that, and as I thought about Trinity, folks, Brian happened to say one Sunday when he was preaching some time ago, that since he came here, he has conducted something like 50, and it will be now 50 plus funerals. Amongst those people, there were many godly people. That means there are gaps. There are gaps. Those godly people are missed. Here's the challenge. Have we people to stand in the gap? Because he said through the prophet, I looked for a man to stand in the gap, and I found none. Friends, it would be an awful indictment on Trinity that over recent years have lost godly people. If God could say of us, I looked for a man, a woman, to stand in the gap, and I found none. No Enochs, no people prepared to walk with God. Because the world and the pull of the world has pulled us into its mold. My dear friends in Trinity, you are my friends. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to myself. But I want to hearten your soul just as a close. Please bear with me. You're so patient. He was translated. I tell you, it's the picture of the child of God who will be alive when Christ comes. That's what Paul said. When the trumpet shall sound, Christ shall come. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, translated, transferred, carried over into his presence without death. There will be a generation who will experience what Enoch experienced and what Elijah experienced. But, let me encourage you. Because for those who have died in Christ, we believe as the Apostle Paul teaches us, we believe. Yes, the body dies, but we believe it's absent in the body to be present with the Lord. The soul of a believer, folks, it doesn't, I believe, go into soul sleep. The soul of a believer at that moment of death is transported into the very presence of Almighty God. Are you going to walk with God, brother and sister? That when you finish walking, you know the little stories told, I heard it recently, that isn't going to finish. A little girl was at Sunday school. She was being taught the story of Enoch, and she went home. And her mother said to her, says, well, what did you learn today, pet? Oh, she says, Mommy, we learned about Enoch. And her mother said, well, what did you learn about Enoch? Oh, Mommy, Enoch, he walked with God, and he walked, and he walked, and he walked, and he walked with God. And her mommy says, and what happened, pet? Oh, Mommy, he walked so far that God just said to him, Enoch, you're far enough from home now. Come to my place. Come to my place. Folks, that's the burden of my heart as I share it with you today. Are you walking with God and eventually be in his place? Or I want you to consider this, folks. Are you walking without him and eventually be ruined and damned and lost for all of eternity? Walk with him. Let him speak to you today and walk with him. We pray. Father, we bow humbly in your presence. We pray that you'll speak to our hearts. We believe you have been speaking. You've been speaking to my heart, Lord. Lord, we look around this congregation and we have this vantage point of being here. We see many people whom we love, we've grown up with. Lord, there are some here today and they know you not. They're not walking with you. Lord, work a miracle of grace in their hearts and in their lives. May they even begin today to walk with God. And Father, for us all, maybe we've been dithering along in our walk, Lord. Maybe we have been attracted away by the lures of the world. Oh, Lord, give us a fresh hunger and a fresh heart to walk with God. And Lord, even as we would consider a new session beginning, may we as a people be found as a people walking with God. And then finally, walking home with him. Until that day, help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.